All right, Hebrews 12. Let's look at beginning with verse 14. He says, "Follow peace. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Well, you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place of repentance, no way to change his mind. And though he sought it carefully with tears, looking diligently, lest any man or woman fail of the grace of God." All right, now turn back to that portion that I announced Sunday that I would be preaching from tonight. You do know where it is, don't you? And you did read it ahead of time, sure. Enough admonition. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. Remember what we just read, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. 1 Kings 2. Let's read the first four verses. "Now, the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandment, and his judgment and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Well, there's several titles suggested in this passage, but the one I've chosen is Three Reprobates. For that's the theme of this whole chapter. Three men who appeared to be true, but we're not. It's a solemn portion of Scripture. God's Word here is the great revealer of the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And it separates. It separates the goat from sheep, the chaff from the wheat, the false from the truth. And that's what we'll see here. All right, but thank God for these first four verses. What a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could stay right there all evening, couldn't we? But we've got to get out of 1 Kings. We're studying in Luke. Now, this is a prophecy of Christ, but I would be greatly remiss if we didn't look at it. He says in verse 3, the king, the father, is giving this charge to his son to keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Keep the charge. And Christ did just that, didn't he? He kept that which was charged to him. He kept his people, kept his word, kept his law, his statutes. See that? To walk in his way, keep his statutes and commandments. And Christ did every jot and tittle. Kept it perfectly. Read on. And his testimonies. Oh, he was mindful of the covenant, wasn't he? as it is written in the law of Moses. He was mindful of the law. That thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. Yes, the pleasure of the Lord prospered in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did by His knowledge He justified men. Verse 4 says that the Lord may continue His word which He spake concerning me. All of His promises in Christ are yea. Amen. Carry on. Fulfilled. You see that? He said in verse 2, show yourself a man. This is how you're going to do it. You're going to show yourself a man. And God was manifest, manifest in the flesh, wasn't he? He showed himself a man. He became a man. Born of a woman, made under the law. Became a man. And he did all that was necessary for us. And verse 4 says, if your children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and all their soul, they will not fail to be a man on the throne for them, one who reigns. Now, isn't that a charge to us? Huh? How do you keep the way? Well, Christ is the way. Looking diligently, lest any man fail. Looking where diligently? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The man on the throne. He's there. A man in glory. Read on. It says, they keep walk before me in the truth. Walk by faith. Christ is the truth. With all their heart. Now, this thing's a heart issue, out of the heart of the issues of life. And with the heart, man believeth unto salvation. And that's what we're going to see in this story. These men had bad hearts. All right? And thank God for those four verses. We quit right now and go home blessed. Good. We've heard Christ. We've heard the gospel. But this is here for our learning. What things are written for our learning. All right. Okay. The man on the throne. Well, this is the story of Joab, Shimei, and Adonijah. Three principal characters here. The three other principal characters. Principal characters are David, Solomon, and Benaiah. Solomon's captain, which represent the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Joab, Shimei, and Adonijah are the minor characters here. Three fellows, all three reprobates. Okay, we just read how the King David is giving his last charge. Now, if you don't stay with me, you'll be lost. Didn't Christ say that very thing? If you don't abide with me, you'll be lost. Well, if you don't stay right here, I mean, right now, you, the rest of us, you're going to be lost. Because it's just deep. We're going to go out into deep water. All right? King David is giving his last charge to Solomon, his son, whom he appointed king. David is committing all authority and all judgment unto the son. And that's a picture of God the Father having committed all judgment to the Son. He's anointed and declared the decree. Christ is His King, King of kings, Lord of lords, and He has the keys of hell and death at His side. All judgment is committed unto the Son. All right. Verse 5. Now the King, the Father, is giving this charge to the Son. Concerning Joab. Moreover, he says, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether, whom he slew. He shed the blood of war in peace. There was peace, but he shed blood. He put the blood of war upon his girdle. It was about his loins and in his shoes. Shoes that were on his feet. His feet were swift to shed blood. All right, back in 2 Samuel is where this story is. All right, turn back there. 2 Samuel chapter 18 is where this story, and this is a story in itself. But like I said, we need to cover all three. 2 Samuel 18. And these fellows, like Joab, can represent many, many things. The Word of God is so deep. But we need to see this on a personal level. This needs to be directed at us personally, all right? We need to see these for men that they were, all right? And not over spiritualized. You understand what I'm trying to say? These were three men and the king, and they were reprobate. You know what reprobate means, don't you? Before I go any further, reprobate means void of a mind, a heart, void of judgment, and the past recovery. No hope. No hope. All right? 2 Kings 18, verse 5. 2 Samuel 18, verse 5. All right, the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Atiah, these were brothers, say, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Now, this is the king's son. And the king said, you be careful how you deal with my son. You deal kindly with my son. You know the story of Absalom. And the type can't fit perfectly to Christ, but nevertheless, King David said he loved Absalom, and he told Joab, "You deal kindly. You be careful. Don't you lay a hand on my son." Well, to make a long story short, up in verse 9, Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode on a mule, and he ran under an oak tree, and it caught him by the hair of the head, is what it did. He had long hair, and it caught him, and he was hanging in a tree. Verse 10, a certain man saw it and told up Joab and said, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree. I saw the king's son hanging in a tree. Like I said, this old story is a story by itself, but a picture of Christ, but we've got to go on. All right? Verse 11, Joab said unto the man that told him, well, you saw him, why didn't you smite him? Why didn't you kill him? I mean, he didn't even hesitate. Why didn't you kill him? I'd have given you 10 shekels of silver to kill him. Now, the king had just said, you watch concerning my son. He charged Joab, didn't he? You deal kindly with my son. And when he saw him hanging in the tree, he slew him. Verse 12. Man said, well, verse 12, this man was more honorable than Joab. He said, I wouldn't take any amount of money. 1,000 shekels of silver to kill the king's son. I heard what the king said. Verse 13, there's no matter hid from the king. Nobody going to get away with it. It touches his son. And Joab said, I don't have time to talk with you. Verse 14, I don't have time to tarry with you. He took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them in the heart of Absalom. Killed him. And so did his brother. Joab killed the king's son, and this is what the king held him accountable for, the first thing, chief thing. Over there in back in the text now, 1 Kings 2, verse 5. You remember what he said? David said to Solomon, you know what Joab did to what? Me. What you did and what he did to the son, he did to the father. And this is a picture of God holding all men accountable. We, with wicked hands, have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. This is the chief sin that God is holding all men accountable for, killing his son. Psalm 53 says, We did esteem him not. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Everyone in here is guilty of this gross sin, right? Well, all right. Joab was guilty of killing the king's son. That's the first thing that the king held him accountable for. All right? But something else. Joab also played the part of a hypocrite, pretended. Joab, you know, Abner. Abner was once Saul's captain and repented of following after Saul and asked David if he could. And David received him gladly. Abner had repented. And Joab deceived Abner. Joab called Abner privately and met with him like he was going to be a friend, peaceable. And he hugged him. Joab hugged Abner. Said, "How you doing, brother?" And killed him. And David said, "He's not going to get away with that." And that's what this is about, all right? That's what this is about. You know what he did to the two captains, with another one, a young man that was pursuing. And at any rate, let's go on. Look at verse 6 now, 1 Kings 2. He said to Solomon, he said, "You do." He's a bloody man. "You do, therefore, according to your wisdom. But don't let his gray head go down to the grave in peace. I'm committing this judgment to you, my son, but don't let him go to the grave in peace." There's no peace to the violent, but to the peacemakers. Right? "Blessed are the peacemakers," Christ said. They'll be called sons of God. There's no mercy for the unmerciful. Abner begged for mercy. Joab didn't, spared him not. So when it came time for Joab to need mercy, he found it not. You see what a solemn picture this is. Look at verses over in verse. All right, now here's the end of Joab, verses 28 through 29. 28 and 29 over here in 1 Kings 2. Tidings came to Joab. Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. Now, he was laying hold on the altar like somebody else we know. And he was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord. Now, he was in the tabernacle. Laying hold on the altar. Surely he's a saved man. He's a bloody man. Got a bad heart. I don't care where he is or what he's doing. Got a bad heart. Solomon sent Benaiah, and he's a picture of the Holy Spirit, who is a slayer also. Son of Jehoiada, saying, "Go fall on him." Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and found him there. And down in verse 34, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, went up and fell on him and slew him. And he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. In spite of where he was, in spite of his pleas for mercy, he was slain. Well, that's serious. You see, there's some things that indicate, or that some things are clear signs of reprobate behavior. Listen to me carefully. If we didn't already see it and hear it, we've already declared it.
some things are indicative of reprobate behavior. Can a person commit adultery and be saved? Yeah, David did. But he didn't continue in it, did he? He wasn't an adulterer. Can a person commit murder and be saved? Yeah. But a thief on the cross, if he had gotten down from there, he had been a peaceable man. Can a person get violent? Be saved. Yeah. Strike someone. Yeah. Peter did. Peter did, didn't he? But later on, Peter said, we better be putting away malice and anger and wrath, didn't he? Huh? Peter said, we need to put this away. But see, a believer is not a striker, not a brawler. That's what Paul said. A believer is not those things. It's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. A believer is not a violent, bloody person. No, sir. Not at all. He's merciful. She's merciful. Peacemaker, gentle, easy to be entreated. These are the children of God. God's the author of peace, is He not? In His family? He said His grace is sufficient, didn't He? Is He able, the Scripture says He's able to subdue all things, even this old man. Isn't He not? The wrath of man somehow will praise Him, but the remainder He's able to subdue. If God has not subdued this old man, to the great degree, is that right? That's just right. Joab was a bloody man, a violent man, and he was an unmerciful man, a striker. Is that right? And though he laid hold on the horns of the altar and was where he was supposed to be and doing what he and begging for mercy, Solomon said, "You didn't show any. You won't get in there." Oh, that's... Isn't it? Either have the ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says in the church. All right, look at the next one. Shimei, verses 8 and 9. Shimei, behold, thou hast with thee Shimei. David is given charge concerning him. Son of Gera, the Benjamite. You know how he came down to meet me at Jordan? David is recounting the story to Solomon. You know what he did? You know the story of what Shimei did, don't you, folks? Cussed him. Cursed him. Took the king's name in vain. There you are, David, you bloody man. Just cussed David. Took David's name on his vile lips, God's king's name on his vile lips, and cursed him. And David said, "I'm not going to hold him guiltless. Who takes my name in vain?" God won't either. Takes his name in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless. But look, all right, here's the end of Shimei, verses 36 through 38. 1 Kings 2, verses 36 through 38. All right, king sent and called for Shimei. Well, I didn't read what David said to Solomon. Verse 9, he says, "Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless." That's it. You're a wise man. You know what you ought to do with him. But his hoary head, here it goes again. His gray head. Bring it down to the grave with his own blood. May his blood be on his own head. All right, now over in verse 36, the king sent and called for Shimei. He called for Shimei. And he said unto him, "Build you a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and don't go not forth thence anywhere." Don't go anywhere. You build you a house in Jerusalem.
And don't you leave. Don't you move. I don't care what it's for. Build you a place and you abide there. And don't you leave. Verse 37. For it shall be that in the day you go out and you so much as set foot over the brook Kidron, you're going to know for certain you're going to die. Your blood's on your own head. Shimei said, verse 38, this is good. What the king says, as my Lord the King, he took his name on his lips, didn't he? As my Lord the King hath said, you said it in your word, I believe it, it's good. Yeah, it's good. That's what I'll do too. Yeah, I believe it. You said it, I'll do it. And so Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. All right? Looks good. So far, so good. He's all right, isn't it? Everything's all right. Well, 3 years went by. 3 years. Verse 39. It came to pass at the end of 3 years, two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Micaiah, the king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, your servants be in Gath. Your servants have gone. And Gath, Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servant. Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon, Shimei left Jerusalem. He's back. But he left. All right, now the king told him. The king gave him a place to stay, didn't he? Gave him a place, told him to abide there, don't leave. And he swore by the king's name. He swore by the king's name. This former king cursor. Now he swears to believe the king. He takes the king's name on his lips and swears that he would not leave. 3 years went by. All right, two of his servants ran away. So, well, this is a good reason to leave. Isn't it a legitimate reason? What's wrong with this? It's innocent enough, isn't it? Innocent enough? Well, isn't it needful that they go get the servants back? Somebody's got to go get them. Shimei thought, this is good. The king's not going to. Well, surely he won't hold me accountable for that. I'm just not going to go along. I plan on coming back. You remember how the Shimei took for, somebody else, Adonijah, took for granted that the king approved of what he was doing. Remember that? Oh, yeah, he doesn't mind. He didn't consult the king. He didn't consult the word of the king. I believe if Shimei had gone to the king and said, I know you told me not to leave, but two of my servants, king sent two down to fetch him, wouldn't he? Or he might have let Shimei go himself, but he didn't consult the word of the king. He just took it for granted. It's just one little thing. And he left. All right, verses 42 and 43. The king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord? And protested unto thee, saying, know for a certain, on the day you go out and walkest abroad anywhere, that you shall surely die. And thou said unto me, you said, your own mouth, your own words, the word that I've heard is good. You said it's good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord, the commandment that I charged thee with? Huh? You've done it again. You've cursed the king. You've taken his name in vain. By swearing to do what he said and doing it not. By being a hearer of the word and not a doer. By claiming it's good and doing the opposite. Verse 44, the king said, you know all the wickedness. Thine heart is you got a bad heart. Thine heart is not right within you. You know what you did to David, my father, cursed him. The Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And verses 45 and 46, and King Solomon shall be blessed. He's going to be blessed in this. He's going to be honored in your death. The throne of David shall be established forever. The word of David. So the king commanded Benaiah, same man, captain, son of Jehoiada, and went out and fell on him and he died. The kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. You see, Solomon's king now, and the first thing he establishes when he sits on the king, on the throne, I mean the first thing. What? What attribute has Solomon shown us so far? At the very outset, attribute, a just king who will by no means clear the guilty. That's what he's shown him. He's a just king and a Savior. Oh, he's kind, he's merciful. You read for yourself later on, Solomon's merciful king. Full of wisdom, truth, and mercy and grace, yes. Unlike any man who's ever lived before him. But he's a just king. He's just. He does according to the will of his Father. You see that? Well, you see, what's the story here? If you don't already know the story here. You see, there's a place, a city of refuge, that our Lord said in Deuteronomy 12 through several chapters. He said, there's a place that I've chosen to put my name there. There's a place where the gospel is. It's not everywhere. There aren't cities of refuge everywhere. God ordained 7 cities of refuge, did he not? 7 cities of refuge. He said, that's the city of refuge. Don't go anywhere else. It's only going to be found there. A place, he said, he's chosen to put his name. Exalt his name. Who make mention that his name is exalted? Everybody else is not doing that. Taking his name in vain. You leave those places, you'll find them taking the king's name in vain. A place where the gospel's proclaimed, where God's God, and Christ is Christ, and the gospel's gospel. It ain't every place. Some people abide for a while. Some people come and they even say, this is it, don't they? I've found the place. This is it. This is the gospel. There is no other. What I'm hearing is good. This is God's word. This is the place. I'm not leaving. If they do leave, what have they done? You see, they've profaned the name of the king. They've taken his name in vain. They have brought reproach on that gospel. They've said, well, maybe I was mistaken. Maybe that isn't just the gospel. Maybe there are other gospels. And over here isn't this Jesus. He's just as much Jesus. You see? They bring reproach on the gospel. Well, do you remember, still have time. Yeah, we got to make time, all right? Y'all got anywhere to go? Henry, you're off tomorrow. All right, let's go over to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 28. You remember chapter 1. You remember how that David called each one of these people personally to reveal that his son is reigning and ruling? You remember that? I love going back there and thinking about that. He called Bathsheba, verse 28. First person he called was his wife, his bride. That's God who called His church, right? Called me Bathsheba, and she came and stood in His presence, stood before the king. Well, and then verse 32, he said, call me the priest, Zadok the priest. Nathan the prophet. Prophet, priest, bride, king's going to say something concerning Solomon. You remember that. Verse 33, king said unto them personally. You see, the king personally said to each of these people, the king, the mouth of the king, they heard it from the king. He said, cause Solomon, my son, to ride on my mule and bring him down to Gihon. Bring him down to Gihon. He declared to them personally, Solomon reigns, and he's at Gihon. Look down at verse, if I can find it, verse 38. So they did. They put Solomon, they exalted him, Solomon. They lifted him up. Yes, Bathsheba and Zadok and Nathan and Benaiah, he's there, you see. They're all there. They're all lifting up Solomon, lifting him up, parading him before them. He came down, he brought him to Gihon. You see that? Verse 38. Gihon. Well, you remember Adonijah and a bunch of his fellows, Joab was there. They were meeting somewhere else. They had them a big shindig going on someplace else, big feast. And Jonathan, the young fella, came and brought tidings. Hey, Solomon's on the throne. What y'all meeting down here for? Y'all in the wrong place. What? The king's sons and the faithful to the king, they're down. And look at verse 45. Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, they've all anointed king, him king in Gihon. If you want to find Solomon and Solomon's people, they're at Gihon. That's where they are. What do you know now? Got up and went to Gihon. Gihon. What does that mean? Well, Gihon was a spring. A spring of water. It was a source, really, of all water. Water of life. If you're gonna find mercy and you're gonna get comfort and you're gonna hear from the king, I'd go this way. Water of life. And there's more to that, but we don't have time. Spring. That's where he's at. But the point I'm trying to make is a particular place designated by the king, Gihon, revealed to the king's chosen. He told Bathsheba, he told Zadok, he told them all, take him to Gihon. Everybody that's with worshipped or submitted to Solomon, that's where they were. They resorted thither to Solomon at Gihon as a place. That's a place. Well, Joab, Shimei, none of them heard that personally. They heard it through a man. They didn't hear it from the king. They heard it. But the king didn't really tell them personally. Well, anyone, and here's the point, and in this place where the gospel, anyone who leaves the gospel, and it's only found in certain places, anyone who leaves the gospel for whatever reason, But I've got to work. I've lost my job here, and I got to make a living. No, it's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Thou fool! This soul, this night, thy soul may be required of thee. And God gave you the first job where the gospel is. He'll give you another one, right? And, whatever reason, you know. Well, there'll be a gospel church down there. I'll go. I got word. No, there'll be a gospel church down there.
Not necessarily.
Well, you leave the gospel for whatever reason. And if they do, the fact is they didn't hear it from the king. You see? If they do leave the gospel, if anybody does leave the gospel, Peter heard the gospel, didn't he? From the source, from the spring, from the water of life. Peter heard it. And Christ said, there's the door. Take off. Peter said, to whom shall we go? If you have the words of life, this is the place. You're the place that God has chosen. Well, for whatever reason, a person leaves the gospel, it may seem legitimate. It may seem legitimate. Am I being too hard here? They thought David was. They thought Solomon was, didn't they? Can you imagine what the people thought? Well, Solomon? His servants ran away. He just went down there to get his servants. Huh? That's no big deal. He came back, didn't he? Solomon said, kill him. Got a bad heart. Solomon knew him. Anybody leaves the gospel now, for whatever reason, judgment's going to fall on their head. What they've done now is bring reproach on that gospel. See, that's what this is. It's a far more serious matter, and it involves far more people than just me, myself. If I, divorce my wife and leave the gospel, I have affected far more people than myself and my wife. I've brought reproach on my God, whom I claim to worship, and His Word that I claim to believe. I've brought reproach on the people. You see, our actions have far-reaching consequences. They reach all the way to God. Serious matter. He's a just God. You see, when Christ comes back, what's He going to come as? The judge. No more mercy. Don't leave. Hey, you hearing me? Don't. I don't care what the reason is. This gospel is not everywhere. God will give you some meat and taters and a roof over your head. Better to eat beans with the fear of the Lord than live in a palace somewhere else. All right. Or a dinner of herbs. That's what he said. Adonijah. You see, there's a lot more people involved than just Adonijah in this chapter. Adonijah. Do you remember him? Get back to him. Chapter 1, verses 52 and 53. Solomon said, now if he'll show himself a worthy man, this Adonijah, remember Adonijah? He was that self-willed, self-exalting fella. Well, he said, Solomon said, if he'll show himself a worthy man, all right, he's going to have to show himself a worthy man. He's going to have to show that really, he's laying hold on the altar, but we'll find out. We'll find out in the end. It's not how a man starts, is it? It's not even where a man is. Joab. It's how he dies. Right? Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, having believed the promises. All right, it says now, verse 53, so King Solomon sent and brought him down from the altar, and he came, bowed himself to the king. Well, it looks good. He looks good. He looks sincere. If we had stopped right there, everybody in here would have thought Adonijah was a saved man, if you didn't go on to read.
Well, look at what Solomon said to him. All right, let's hear what Solomon said to him. You've got to rightly divide the word truth. Solomon said, go to your house. That's all he said. He didn't say peace. He didn't say, I won't kill you. He didn't say anything. He just said, go to your house. Well, Solomon knew what was in it. You see, Solomon did not commit himself to Adonijah. He knew what was in it. Does that sound familiar? A greater than Solomon walked this earth, and it says that many believed on him. They believed on him. They came to him. And it says he did not commit himself unto them. He knew what was in them. Though many appeared to believe, he knew them. He didn't commit to them. Christ didn't die for them. He didn't send his Holy Spirit to them to convict them, to change them, to give them a new heart. But rather in the end, he sent him to slay them. Well, Adonijah's heart is revealed. Like we started this whole message out, the Word of God is a great revealer. It will reveal the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Adonijah, verse 13. Adonijah, son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. Now you remember who Bathsheba is. She's the king's bride, the king's wife. And this wicked fellow, Adonijah, is appealing to the king's bride. He comes in, he sneaks into this woman, and he says this. She said, comest thou peaceably? Oh, yes, peaceably. Yeah. Put on a smile on the Lord's day. It may have been the Sabbath. And he said, moreover, I have somewhat to say unto thee. She said, say on. Verse 15. Now, listen. Now, what he was doing here was he was appealing to the king's bride. And he had her fooled. He had the king's wife fooled. She believed he was sincere. She believed he was all right. He was sweet, sincere, nice fellow. She never suspected him for a moment. The king knew him, like Scripture says about some afar off, at arm's length. She didn't catch it. She didn't catch what he's about to say. She didn't catch it. But his words condemned him. His words condemned him. Our Lord said, by a man's words he'll be justified or condemned. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. She didn't catch it. Do you catch it? Look at this. Verse 15, all right? What's in the heart's going to come out of the mouth. First thing, verse 15. He said to her, thou knowest that the kingdom was mine. Owl be raining. All Israel set their faces on me. However, read on. Howbeit, the kingdom is turned about, it's become my brother, it's Solomon, and this is from the Lord. That's how he said that. It's from the Lord. God is sovereign. And yes, Jesus is Lord. You see, what he had not renounced his old self-will, his old self-righteousness. He did not truly acknowledge in his heart that Solomon was the only king. The one and only king. And he said to her, the kingdom is turned. Yet he said some good things. Didn't he say some good things? The Lord did this. It's Solomon's and it's just of the Lord. Yes. I used to reign, but now I believe Solomon reigns. What's that? What's this? What's this, Robert? What this is anyone who refuses to renounce their former religion. This is someone who refuses to renounce their former self exalting free will religion. Well, I was saved back when I was an Arminian. But now, I've come to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. I was saved back when I was a God-hating, disbelieving, self-exalting believer in free will, trusting another Jesus, not believing the true God, rejecting His Word, thumbs up, I saved, but, oh, now I've come to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace. Yes, Jesus is Lord. We'll see how he ends up. Bathsheba was fooled. She's fooled by it. Seems true enough. Good words, fair speeches. Deceive the hearts of the simple. How many of God's people, His bride, His wife, His church, have been fooled by how many wolves in sheep's clothing? By how many false brethren crept in unaware? Well, this is how you're going to know them. Do they renounce their former religion? That's what right there is for. Well, I've been baptized. Who'd you confess? I made my decision for Jesus. That's right. Wrong one. And when you come here to the gospel, you get in there and say, I renounce that I've never been baptized. And now I am confessing the Christ, the gospel. Bathsheba was fooled. And by the way, old Adonijah said, oh, by the way, you see, you may have thought that this little thing with Abishag was the heart and soul. Mm-mm, that's not the matter. He wanted her. That's another proof, you know. He wanted this. He got religion so he could get him a wife. Ask him this too. Can I have Abishag? Solomon saw right through it. See, if he was going to religion today, he'd have gone to all the singles meetings. In a free will army, he'd have gone to all the single meetings, you know. By the way, ask the king to give me Abishag. And this is a picture. Old Adonijah is a picture of these wolves in sheep's clothing who deceive themselves. He deceived Bathsheba, and he was deceived himself, and leading silly women captive, and drawing away disciples after himself. He wanted Abishag, you know. And unbeknownst to Bathsheba, she didn't know it, Solomon knew him. And look at it here in verse 21, 22. And Bathsheba came in, and she's praying for him. As all God's, you know, God's people pray for all men, don't they? Lord, bless so-and-so. I ain't going to bless him. Well, the king knows, doesn't he? We pray, and the Lord says, Lord's thinking, I ain't going to bless him. I'm going to kill him. Well, read on. It says, let Abishag and Shumamite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, why do you ask Abishag and Shumamite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom. That's really what he wants. See that? Why are you asking that? Well, he wants is the kingdom. But he said, verse 23, and boy, I like this. King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, who hath made me an house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah. And Well, Scripture says, looking diligently. Lest any man fail. Now, you know, what do you think Bathsheba did when the king... The king said, she came in and was asking for him, bless Adonijah, and Solomon gritted his teeth and looked her in the face, his mother. Woman, what have I to do with thee? As much as to say that. Does that sound familiar? He looked at his mother and said, I'm going to kill him. What do you think Bathsheba thought? This is not my son. He's more skinny. It's not my boy. He's king. He's a just king. He will by no means clear the guilty. He knows what's in the heart. He's more than just a man. And she may have even thought it was unfair, though. It's unfair. Well, Scripture says, and looking diligently, I'm going to quote it again, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. We need to take a hard look at ourselves. Am I Joab? Am I Shimei? Lord, please. Lord, please. Deliver me from the evil man. Am I an Adonijah? Lord, please. We need to take a diligent look at ourselves. But then, real quickly, look to Christ. If you go to Solomon, like I said, if Joab had gone to Solomon, if Shimei had gone to Solomon, if Adonijah had gone to Solomon, I'm rotten, and said, I'm rotten to the core. What do you reckon Solomon would have done? If Solomon would have come, not through Bathsheba, but himself, and said, please, I don't know what I should ask for. I got a bad problem. That's my problem. Would you please do something about it? Have mercy on me, O King. What do you reckon would happen? I know Solomon. Well, know ye not, listen to this now. Scripture says, know ye not your own selves, how that Christ be in you, except ye be. We almost didn't study this, because after reading it, I thought this is won't get too many amens. It's hard. It's a hard thing. It's a hard matter. You know, God's consuming fire. And he said, this is the man I'm going to dwell with. He who hears my word and trembles at it. Lord, I feel a little bit of Joab in me. I feel a little bit of Shimei in me. I feel a little Adonijah and a whole lot in me. That man that trembles at my word, hears and trembles at it, says, and lays hold on the horns of the altar. Trembles at the word. Believes the word. It beats on his breast. God, be merciful to me. None of these fellows have mercy. But we will. We will. Joab had a brother, Abishai, was his name. He killed, Absalom too. He's in it with him. But he found mercy. He found mercy. He ended up being one of the king's great captains, Abishai. The king told Abishai, he's a great man. He killed the king's son. The king said, he's a great man. He's merciful. Merciful. Oh, man, every manner of sin will be forgiven. You just got to go to the king and say, hey, All right, may the Lord grant mercy. All right, let's stand and ask Him for it. Our Lord, Your Word is a fire, a hammer. Your Word is a sword, piercing, dividing, revealing the very thoughts and intents of the heart. Though the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Well, You know it, and You reveal it through Your Word. Oh, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Take not Thy mercy, Thy Spirit from us. Give us Thy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Rather not slay us by that same Spirit for the works of the flesh. Lord, You warned us that no murderer or thief or adulterer and on will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You said such were some of you, but You're washed. Oh, Lord, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity. Purge us with hyssop, and we'll be clean. We're guilty. But according to Thy mercies, Thy tender mercies, the multitude of Thy tender mercies, and Thy loving kindness, blot out our transgression. It's against Thee and Thee only we've sinned. We've killed Your Son. We've exalted self. We've left our place, left our first love. Oh, Lord, forgive us, please, for Christ's sake. It's in His name we ask these things. Amen. You're dismissed.